Who told
Lynn and Mariko to go back to New York?
Nobody told us to go back to New York.
It says we're told to go back to New York, not to go on to Mary's.
Lynn and Mariko, quote, "We're told to go back to New York, not to go on to Mary's." Why?
Okay, the quote is wrong. The quote is incorrect.
First of all, I remember just being bombed out of my mind with, oh my God, this middle-aged woman came up and hit me and wiped out, and then found out no searches and thought, oh my God, you know, thank God I didn't know it at the time.
And then even getting into the car.
First of all, remember we had that pig, that church thing, and then
we had to kick a woman out of the car.
Kept insisting on staying.
She got the car. A woman actually got into the car with us.
So the main thing I remember was making sure, is everybody okay? Is everybody in their cars? I was worried about people's safety in that way.
She wasn't invited to get in the car.
No, she got into the car.
She kept going to the door and holding it on.
She kept pushing her foot against my
thigh.
We had to put this woman out of the car bodily.
I think she was some student.
Yes, she was, but nevertheless, the car's like we were going.
We didn't know where we were going. This was the Washington Post woman in her cab. That was her cab. Now, there's a one reason why I want the workshop to make the decision tonight, because I am not going to carry the ship long. The tools are one thing to try and get them across, but that I have to watch the other. So that, I mean, the whole thing of people not understanding. Everybody was under strain, and I said last time that with the evidence that's been coming in, there wasn't anybody in that pit who was an agent that they weren't supposed to get out of there.
They were what?
They were not supposed to get out of there in one piece.
And that was evidence that has come in since Washington.
That's why I say there's going to be major charges brought. That thing, we got off so lucky because, and I think it took a lot of courage knowing that place hadn't been searched. Once that move had been made to move in. As I said, thank God I didn't know. I don't know what I would have done. But it was easier not knowing. Now, by the time we were out in that car, to think that anybody was plotting where anybody was gonna go. I mean, you were sitting there and like she's gonna go to her paper, and then we're thinking, do we have any money pay the cab the rest of the way, then we have to ask, look, what if we don't have any?
The newspaper pay. We said, we have no money.
So then we said, we'll go to Mary. Where's Mary, right? No copies of this thing. I remember seeing you in the car, I think. I think at some point, a light or something, and I thought I remembered, because I was asking, because I kept on trying to find out how many women were going to stay in Washington that night, and we had to find beds for,
and how many
were going to go back to New York. Now I remember that there was some calling out to the car. I don't remember exactly what was said.
You answered me.
I didn't say go to New York.
No, you didn't say go to New York. You answered me my question.
What was your question? I assumed you knew what I had asked you.
You want us to come with you and follow you so we could get in on whatever was happening afterwards, because we wanted very much to be part of that as anybody would.
Wait a minute. There wasn't time for this much conversation.
There was something across
a car. I know I was in the middle and somebody was
here. I was at the window. I heard you say
Eileen was at the window. You were next to Eileen, T. Grace, and then the reporter.
I think this just goes to accentuate the diagram. Some people would automatically be in, and some people automatically would get left out, unless it was
There are so many people who can get into a car, Jeff.
No, I'm just trying to say that this is one of the things that can
be worried about getting in the car with you.
You're trying to walk around it. You know, this diagram is a very real thing, and you want to say, well,
there's no structure. Jesse, let us just finish what happened there, would you please? I didn't know where we were going. But all I thought, and what I was saying was, I was thinking, well, we just lost it. But then the car found out that that place hadn't been searched and the people hadn't been searched for the first time. And all I wanted to do was find a bed, pull the covers up, and just sweep it off. and just say, well, tomorrow you just got to get up and start shoveling again. I mean, it, at that time, until the next morning, I thought the whole thing had been lost and that we had really stepped back, because the one thing I never expected was a woman to come up and help me. And that blew me, and I could see the picture. I knew that was going to be the whole story. Well, you see, women hate this. And here's this middle-aged woman, decent doctor and woman, who's come up and struck. So that's what I thought. I just wanted to go home to bed. Now, this doesn't seem to me to be an extraordinary reaction. This would seem to me that you could kind of predict that. That people weren't, what were you going to go operate on that time of night? I mean, what we, all we didn't know was about y'all, like the place hadn't been searched. We didn't have any other information. We didn't have all, I didn't know anything till the next morning.
Yeah, but there was a lot to talk about. That's what we wanted.
I think
what
was
there?
I think the main question
here. We were just as
messed
up as they were about what had happened and why it all got worse.
No, but I'm just saying, in that car, at that time, we just got in. We didn't know where it was going until she said, I have to make my deadline, so
drop me at the post.
Then from there, we're going to Mary's. Simply, that decision was made when she told us that. I certainly didn't want to sit up and talk about it because I was wiped out. Now, the way things worked out, it was going to be that there were sleeping places for as many people as wanted to stay, and they wouldn't have been at Mary's. I mean, there was room for one person at Mary's.
She offered us before.
As things went on and developed, and Andy and this whole thing, finally, I didn't know, at one point, I just keeled over. And when I got up the next morning, my nightgown was on backwards and inside out. No, I mean, really. And I've never done that in my life. So that to not understand that that would be the condition of anybody after that, pretty weird.
Except for one fine technical point.
Fine technical point?
Yes.
What?
The fact that when Marifa called to tell you the auditorium was filled, I believe Marifa said the auditorium has been filled since 7:30. We just got here. And people started arriving.
She did not talk to me, number one. She talked
to me.
Through.
All right.
That's what I want to ask Marika. Why didn't she want to say that?
I said the auditorium has been filled since 7:30. We should have gotten here.
Your auditorium was filled at 6:15.
Well, the girl told me 7:30 as we were.
You had no time to say. You talked to me.
When we got there.
May
I finish?
You talked to me.
When
at
I got
no time
there.
Did you say the crucial thing? No one has been searched.
I said the auditorium has been filled since 7:30. We got there at 8. Why?
Just when we called.
When we called. It had been full.
You did
we
not make yourself clear. I was so goddamn jumpy.
We left the house at 7:30.
Marika,
we went in when you have gone there.
Wait. People went off in time to get to that building at 7, which was when they were supposed to search the building. We did not hear until your call anything from anybody. We assumed the building had been searched, that the people had been searched. You called and you said, what you said was, people started getting here at 6:30.
Yeah.
The auditorium is now filled.
We should have been here at 6. That's what I said. We should have been here at 6.
We
to
left
do
the
searching.
House at, ten, at a quarter after
sure
7.
Sure, given that the people started to arrive at 6:30, but you at no time said, no one has been searched.
I
you
thought you would understand that from saying that there were
you don't take chances
was
like this.
When it was
if there were
we got
any,
there.
If there had been any clue to the fact that people hadn't been searched, T. Grace would not have gone to that.
Well, I thought I made it clear.
Well, you
when
didn't.
I thought I made
My
it clear.
God,
when
you
I said
didn't.
It was full.
The way you make something clear is to state it. People have not been searched.
Well, I thought I had made it clear. The auditorium was full when we got there.
Well, also, Marika was under terrific stress. They didn't want to let her out to make a phone call.
Yeah, but no, I'm
they
talking about the fact that we left Mary's house at 7:15. We were given the instructions that it would take anywhere from a half hour to 45 minutes to get there. If Mariqua says the auditorium has been filled since 6:30 or 7:30, that leaves no time whatsoever for us to have searched anybody. And it's completely understood
from that statement. You went out of Mary's apartment in two batches. The first batch left in time to get to the hall at 7, which
the first batch left at 7.
At 7, yes, we did. We left at 7. Because we got to Mary's apartment at 6:20 and we went out to eat, got back, and the instructions were that we should leave get there first to do just this thing. We left first but got there second because we...
Well, see, we didn't know this.
Of course.
We didn't know this.
Right. And there were a set of conditions that we had to undergo, there were a set of conditions that they underwent, and when we all got together, you know, we didn't know their story, they didn't know our story. But so we
But there is no way we could know that the women who left first got there second.
But and that doesn't make any difference.
Of course it makes a difference.
No, it does not make a difference considering they didn't leave until 7 and we left about 15 minutes later. So we were not there at 7.
But
we
the
were there at 8.
We lived all their lives. Because
it's understood, but we have to... Somehow attribute some of this to just a lack of not knowing, you know, having not done anything like this, as dangerous as it might seem, inexperienced
well,
as we are.
Except that Anne and Marlene have been involved in half the time to play. Can you imagine somebody going in or not making it clear, nobody has been searched and have been filled?
I mean,
never in a million years, and there is evidence they had weapons in there.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
people
yeah.
would jump.
Yeah.
It is a miracle
yeah.
that we're in one piece.
Yeah.
People would jump.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. What happened?
Well,
yeah, a lot of
well I don't want to. They're with the lawyers. These things, all the pieces and the documentation of it, and you know, as far as
enough said, there were weapons.
There were
the
plants.
People.
We knew
there
that before. We just didn't know about her. They thought she would strike me. That I would hit her back. A woman would jump her, and the stampede from the audience would come. And those exits were locked from the outside. Now you figure out who would know who had done what when the bodies were untangled, right? So I mean
that's why
I told
I'm
you
sorry.
Those people got class.
I'm sorry, Jean isn't here to hear this with all of her talk about. Wait a minute,
it,
I'm talking.
I just don't believe it. You know,
you
I
don't believe what?
I don't believe this.
Well,
that
no,
it's true.
Okay,
that,
well, what do you?
No, this is what I mean.
When it's documented, then
I mean,
you're going to have to explain how you couldn't believe it.
I will explain it then. But what I can't believe is that first of all, nothing happened, and then all of a sudden, everything should have happened. But by some miracle, which we should take by grace, nothing happened.
Do you want to know? The three reasons that were given by some of the women who were in the audience who observed this. One,
the Trinity College women.
One, the fact that T. Grace did not strike back and the very calm, cool statement T. Grace made. Two, the fact that the women who moved in on Mrs. Bozell were gentle with her.
Because
and
they,
three...
Actually, that was the first thing. The first thing they said was that people were really surprised by the fact that nobody tried to hurt her in any way. Also, that was the first thing. Also, why didn't I hit her back? Well, I was so stunned, you know, because going through these changes that a woman had done this and just feeling blown, not knowing who she was, knowing the political implications this could have, making the statement that was one of the things that the audience was then so much with us, that there was no stampede possible. But we knew everything before, we knew there were plans. We just didn't know about the fuse. Now more and more of the pieces are coming in, and that's why I say nobody in that pit was an agent. No way.
Could you
answer
one of the things on this paper then that said that, I think Jean wrote out that of all places, Washington wouldn't want something like this to happen. I'm just wondering.
What do you mean,
I'm
Washington? Catholic
well,
University.
In other words, if something like this, what you say was supposed to happen, would happen, it would be exactly contrary to what anybody who was against you would want to happen. It would be great publicity, and everybody would feel sorry for you, and, you know.
Well, why do you think lots of people have been killed, right? You can say, why are they killed in the South? It'd be good publicity. I mean, what? So people wouldn't want to do that. I mean, if you apply that argument to any number of cases, you're saying something doesn't hold up politically. But the fact that you don't see it when it comes to feminism, and that you take it so lightly and almost facetiously, what was going on there is considering, you know, the political conditions in this country and the kind of reaction on this and the church, and knowing how powerful the church is and how important women are to that church, it's because you don't really, I think it begins, where I don't blame you, is that if you don't think all women, without exception, are oppressed, then it would be very hard for you to make the other connection.
I don't think it's only that. I think another reason why I might take it with a grain of salt or lightly is because I have seen other women's groups and have belonged to other types of women's groups, and there's always something that's blown out of proportion, and it's hard for me after how many times I've seen something that's nothing blown all the way up like it's the biggest
thing.
You think
it's very odd this was on the front page
all over the
world?
I thought that it was the greatest thing that could have happened, that here was a person that didn't harm you that would have gotten publicity like this. This is what this is my impression. I don't know why it's so wrong. Why is it wrong for me to have an impression that here this woman made a scene and no harm was done and she happened to be a sister of somebody famous and this got the front page and people are going to start thinking about it? This is just what my reaction
but
was.
But you refuse to believe the evidence that has come in that there were weapons on people in the audience?
That's why I said I couldn't. I can't,
you
believe,
can't believe
it unless
it.
I've seen it.
But you can believe that women as a class are not oppressed. That's easy for you to believe.
No, all women is the same.
You don't believe what we're saying is true?
No, I'm trying to say...
Are you finding it hard to believe?
No, I'm trying to say that what you're saying now is that you're trying to say that there was definitely basis for the way you behaved or the way you felt and all that.
And you don't believe it?
No, granted it may be true, but I have just said from my experiences with other women's groups that I have run across times when people would be saying the same thing and there's nothing behind it.
Jesse, why do you think for the first time a feminist was banned from speaking?
And it just happened to be a Catholic.
And it happened to be a Catholic.
Where it just happens to be, they have all their cardinals and archbishops on the board of trustees, where they just happen to have their charter from the Pope, unlike any other university in the country. These are just coincidences. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And also, when we were standing in the lobby of the hallway, a priest came up to Ann and I and Alberta and whoever else was standing with us. And the priest came over to me and, hello there, young lady, how are you? You know, tell T. Grace that she should write a letter to so-and-so thanking him for all the free publicity she's getting. And none of us responded to him at all. He expected us to chuckle back something or other. We looked at him, blank stare, turned our heads. Somebody who had on one of those blue cards said to the priest, "You better leave." And the priest said, "Why? Are you expecting trouble or violence?" And the thing with the blue car said, "Yes," and out we went. So that frightened me a little bit, and because prior to that, we were told that there were 15 hecklers in the audience. And then when this priest was asked to leave because they were expecting violence,
No.
Maybe you'll believe it, since it's a male who's also a churchman. Maybe you'll now start to believe some of the evidence, Jesse.
I'm believing if I see it, but I'm just trying to...
But why is it...
There are other instances. You're misunderstanding me again. There are other instances. You can say on any college campus, if somebody controversial is going to speak, my God, we had Albert Ellis speak at Hofstra, and, you know, everybody was saying there's going to be violence. I almost killed him, you know? I mean, there's always, when somebody controversial is going to be somewhere where people think and, you know, might disagree, there's always the possibility of violence.
No,
I'm just...
See, Jesse, one of the points I was trying to make is, I believe this is what you think. I do believe you're sincere. I'm just saying that what has to be done in this workshop is so difficult that it cannot be done if we have to be struggling on that level all the time.
I'm not questioning your sincerity.
No,
I agree with you, because if I had known that this is the way the workshop would have been run, I wouldn't have come. I was under the impression that it would be something else, and now that I have seen what you want to do, I understand why that I shouldn't be here, but you know, this is the whole thing. I didn't realize that this is the level at which you were running the workshop. I thought that
it was supposed to be. Well, I agree. We were going to use the books, right? That was melted down to say in the movement, people use a zillion bunch of literature that I don't think really has gotten too far. We had two books, that's true. But then when we started, the idea of not following that, but trying to get the tools themselves evolved out, because this would be helpful in guaranteeing that people wouldn't be picking up a line, but instead the tools. And it has evolved in that way. I have in the movement generally been always the most reluctant to deal in this way. That is, to finally say, this isn't going to work anymore. I've always waited long past the time and held back because it's unpleasant. It's unpleasant, that's all. And you know, and what I need are really more enemies, right? So
no,
I'm just saying
no,
that this is, but this whole thing.
No, this is something else, but as far as what you're saying now is that, you know, I agree, if you had told me 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, that this is the course of
you kept coming up to me. Remember, you kept coming up to me and saying, do you think, I don't know, I feel uncomfortable, I'm not sure.
No, I just said the last
because
time,
I don't know, twice you have said to me afterwards that you don't know if you have a place in the workshop because you seem to think differently than the other people there, and they seem to have a lot of hostility, and you felt badly.
I never said that until the last workshop that I was at.
Twice, and I told you the second time, I will really think about it, and...
That was the last time. That was 2 weeks ago, when all of a sudden it was clear to me what the workshop was, but before that I had never mentioned that I didn't... You know, I felt frustrated because I disagreed all the time, but I never said I felt bad because I felt hostile. During the course of one workshop, I had felt hostility, and since the first Friday that I didn't attend, I felt hostility, and I didn't personally think that it was anybody's business to question whether people could make it or not, or whether it was anybody's business to question people when they didn't make it. But, you know, this is irrelevant. All I'm trying to say now is that if I had known that this is the way you want to run the workshop, I wouldn't insisted. I just thought that it was something else.
What is the workshop?
What is this workshop
what
now?
What do you consider the workshop to be now?
Well, I think that you're trying to get the tools to fight in a certain way, which you all have agreed upon is the proper way. Now, this is where I thought that it wasn't yet agreed upon as to which the way was and who you were going to fight.
No, we didn't. All we've said is that women are not even oppressed, but in some way women are treated in a negative manner. We have never, and I made that clear, I'm not going to give people the answer. I realize the danger of that, because then people don't have to take the responsibility of finding their own answers. The tools are what make it more possible. And it was very exciting at the last time because it was really coming out clearly and people were practicing and thinking. I lost my thought. It was about... I'm sorry. I had the thought and I lost it. At any rate, the workshop has evolved. It would continue to evolve. It has to be something that has to be what the people in it want it to be. All of the people in it want it to be.
I think if I could make one observation about it, I would think that the main trouble that you're going to have to contend with is that everybody is going to be afraid to question anything. Which, you know, this is aside from me disagreeing with a lot of things that I'm getting back to that diagram, and I think that is very valid and that you should look into that more, because I have, you know, felt this as I have in other groups that have, you know, wound up with splits and other things like that, that sometimes the people who get together for something will be so busy trying to make each other feel like what they're doing is right and that they're going in the right direction that they won't see very obvious things that might be obvious to somebody else. And this is one thing I think that
but
you should be concerned about.
On Sunday, what you couldn't know about, after when we really began to get into the heavy work, there was no more of this personal thing. Now we're into theory and thinking.
This is not the personal thing that was my concern. My concern would be that with, as I said before, also with the theory and what you've come up with, that you still might not see some pitfalls that you might...
I was not going to give anybody a feminist theory or a theory on lesbianism. What we were dealing with last time, and that has... I mean, people who are in the workshop cannot have missed that session. I mean, that's why it hasn't gone over. Very basic things to a beginning of a theory, distinctions between necessary and sufficient, distinctions and practicing, getting at these different distinctions, people practicing, each person, say, taking 15, 20 minutes, each person bringing them out, discussing them, finding the areas, because every person has a weaker area, and you have to know your weaker area so that you can watch yourself there. Everybody has it. Defining each person's, and it was possible for everybody to benefit by working and looking and the self-realization of the people themselves. So it was straight tools. I don't even know, I'm trying to think if it was, it wasn't even, the examples were very often nothing to do with women. I mean,
apples,
basically, you know.
Something would come up and somebody would say, yeah, men oppress us. You don't know how much men would oppress us. And that's when I'd get in and say, you know.
Well, that's exactly where we didn't want it to go, you see. We were
right, well, this is what I mean, you know. I was, you know, nothing would bother me up until that point, until somebody would make a statement as if it was the truth, and nobody would say anything, and, you know, here I am sitting there.
No, there's only one statement that does seem to be a necessary condition, being in the workshop, which is that every woman here understands that she is a member of the class of women, and those conditions affecting the class of women affect her. And for that reason, and in order to be able to fight this condition, wherever it comes from, that she needs the tools to be able to figure out the problem correctly from many different aspects, so that certain obvious mistakes, so that we don't, any of us, make any or as few as possible obvious mistakes. The last session, as I said, it was like the time just was gone before you saw it. And people grew, I would say, about at least twice as much as any other session, in terms of when we were getting it in a natural way at those very basic things. And I think that I think it's a struggle. I think this workshop, I've never done anything before. I've never, you know, I am teaching the tools. Just say it. I'm getting over my own hang up on leaders. I am teaching the tools. That's it. And I'm determined other people are going to be able to get their heads shot off with me, right? So everybody gets the tools.
We all can be stars.
You're right. But the But in order to do that, which is something really enormous, we have to have optimal conditions. And when it really gets to the point where you think that it's, you're not going to be able to do it, then there's no motivation. It's too hard. It's asking too much of people for many reasons. Everybody's, you know, people don't have the tools and make some mistakes partly, you know, because people are scared. You'd be crazy not to be scared.
I'd like to ask another question. I don't know, you know, what we're doing at this point anymore, but I personally, you know, after you told Gene and I not to come back, I kept asking, and we had talk after, but why would you be asked to leave? I couldn't imagine it. She went to Washington and all this, and the only thing that I could, you know.
Not with us.
Well, this is something else. That why would you feel that it would be detrimental if she experienced the other side? You know, just taking for granted, like, just trust her motives for a minute, you know, without getting all upset about it. Trust that she's not an agent, trust that she's interested in this. I think by what she put together here, it shows that she does have some interest in it. Can't you see any good coming out of it, that you know, that she was not, you know, that she was, in a way, able to be neutral, though she wasn't. Of course, she was with you, even though she wasn't there in body, but she could see what the other side was doing, and perhaps, you know, if something had happened from the other side, who knows, that she wouldn't have been able to detect it sooner than you would have. From where she was,
why
did you feel that
all these things happened and she didn't?
Well, you know, this is something else. How can you be sure? I think maybe you're attributing things to the situation that aren't so, and you're not seeing
again
obvious benefits.
But now afterwards, we saw it, and it wasn't so.
But she saw it from a different angle, and she presented the angle, and nobody wanted to see, you know, see it.
She presented. I think it's interesting that when she speaks of reading, that the only clippings attached are from a Catholic publication. Why not the Washington Post?
But this was pertinent. If she hadn't ever gone, she wouldn't
sorry.
Have been asked
I
to leave.
I knew that everyone has read the Post here.
No,
it
but you build what you have to say on her speech from your research.
No, I haven't. I've built this thing from what it seemed to me, Ruth, which may be wrong or it may be right. I don't know. What I wanted has come about. I think that people have some understandings and possibly people that had questions. I don't believe that there is that much danger. In Washington, I don't believe they want anything to happen, and I think if there is that much problem, they're going to have enough FBI around that they're going to watch it. Now, I could be
not on our side. That's
not true. Jean and everybody else. We got a phone call the other day in which I found out some news that really scared the shit out of me, and it still scares me tremendously. We were told that word has come from Cuba that no one is allowed to go on a Venceremos brigade if they are in women's liberation. If they are in women's liberation.
What is the brigade?
Venceremos. People from the United States and from other countries go to Cuba to help harvest cane and do other things to learn all about socialism and everything else. Okay. Word has come from authorities in Cuba that no people may go on Venceremos brigades if they are in women's liberation or if they are in gay liberation.
Have you been receiving material from the women in Cuba? Yes, why?
Now, that really frightened me a great deal because a lot of people here in this country are talking about, you know, socialism as the answer and all this other stuff. And God forbid a new way of life should come about in our country from some of the other revolutionary groups that are struggling. And then all of a sudden, they start, you know, we would be the ones to go to the concentration camps.
Right. If there is a physical revolution, we'll be first.
Not even if there's a physical revolution. It doesn't even have to be a physical revolution necessarily.
It could be a purely moral.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, gay people have gone openly to Cuba before, and women have gone openly as women before. And now all of a sudden this word that from Cuba, no women's liberation, no gay liberation.
Well, I knew that they had been putting the, I knew that for some time, but the women's liberation too, I thought people were trying to make a lot of complaints and all, and you know, to the Cubans, but that they have now, are.
Well, and this is just such a clear point that women's liberation is threat.
And we'll have the same
gay liberation is a threat.
The way that special.
Well,
I'm sure on the FBI list,
and
you know, that's one of the things that, you know,
that
like I didn't get clearance from the FBI before Women's Lib came out, but you know, now I'm sure if you belong to Women's Lib, that's another thing that, you know.
Well, it isn't women's liberation,
you know,
just that. But
it's all organizations that they don't want anything.
Yeah, but it's not just that. The church, the women's movement for the last 3 years, it's come up again and again. You know, it's amazing how many women in the movement have called me back and back, my sisters, saying, I told you you shouldn't touch the church, it's too powerful. I told you. You just have to start small. They're too powerful. Now, they saw this, what was too bad about what happened was, the way they read it was, because they didn't know the whole situation, the places changed. I mean, people were almost on top of you anyway, you know, in the seating arrangement.
Right.
But all they saw was, you see, you went there, and the demonstration is that somebody with a weapon or anything else can get to you. And they didn't see, let's go get that motherfucker in the church, right? They didn't see that. They haven't seen that on abortion. Like, get all these people crying to about abortion. Women call me the anti-war movement. One first women's brigade.